Would you open your Bible tonight to the book of 2 Timothy? And these are just little thoughts I've been thinking about here recently, just to be quite honest with you, with doing some funerals and thinking about last words, what should be on our hearts and minds, what's really important. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we understand that the Apostle Paul, we understand probably why he was writing these, that the Roman soldier was probably sharpening the axe that was going to sever his head. The Bible very clearly said that he had fought a good fight, and he said, "For I am now ready to be offered," and we know that his life was taken. And we know that he gave his life for the Lord Jesus. But what would you think if we knew we might, our time would be near? As Robert called me today, you know, he was talking about his mom. But, you know, think of this, even as I was preaching that funeral, none of us are promised tomorrow. Some of us think, well, I'm older, I don't have long. But you know what? Someone that's here that's 40 years older than me could live longer than me. So we really don't know when our time is at hand. But we understand that's in the hand of God. We trust Him for it. But I want you to notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, really we could read the whole chapter. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which in other words is the alive, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Boy, what a lesson to a young preacher. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. I love this next phrase. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but I love this, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou were also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Think of that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We just read, truthfully, some of the last words that we've known that Paul spoke. He wrote this down in a letter. And I want to just say, I don't even really have a title for this other than Paul's last words. And so someone's last words, he's not going to be talking about something frivolous. His last words, he's going to be talking about needful things. Not only for himself, but he's going to be talking about needful things for all of us. And I've just wrote down a few little things here. If you start with verse 9, there's other things we could talk about here. But I want you to notice verse 9. I want you to notice he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, the Apostle Paul was in prison. I'm sure that in those days, the prison cell that he was in was nothing like what we think of prisons today. I'm not being ugly, but I've been in prison. I wouldn't want to be in prison. But they have some luxuries today. But I'll guarantee you in this day, I'm sure it was not in the best of locations. We're told by history and reading some other information that I've been reading about, just thinking about things, we're told that where he was kept was probably extremely damp, very wet, very cold, very musty. Wasn't going to be a place that's seen a lot of sunlight, and so it was probably under the ground where there was probably mold and wet, damp, cold. And so we understand he asked for a cloak. He asked for a coat. He was getting cold, so he's thinking about his physical needs. He said, "Hey, and by the way, would you bring me the cloak, your coat, my coat when you come? It would be helpful." But I think about some things here as he's in this prison cell. What are some things that he talks about that were needful for him, knowing where he was and what part of the life he was at near the end? I want you to notice the first thing that I thought was interesting. Look at verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me." The first thought I had here is, you know what was on his mind? He brought him up. He brought him up, so obviously on his mind, he was thinking about this man Demas. He had thought about this man that had served with him. This man that had labored with him, had co-labored with him. We find him only mentioned three times in Scripture, but one of them, he was serving the Lord, Demas was. And so no doubt he had these memories of Demas. But here's the thought that I believe was on the Apostle Paul's mind, is he was going back through the annals of his mind, annals of time, he was thinking, you know what? He was thinking of who this person was serving the Lord, and this person used to serve the Lord, and this person. But he brought up Demas, and here's the word. He thought about the ones that had forsaken the Lord. You know, I'm not trying to be negative here tonight, but I believe as he was thinking about that, Brother Don, I believe we understand that Demas had been putting on his heart and mind, because I'm sure that he was praying for Demas. I'm sure he was concerned about Demas. And, you know, I'm sure I can understand this a little bit. You know, there are some people that used to be with us. And I'll even go even back farther than that and say, hey, there used to be people with us back in West Virginia. And what happened? They just got out and they just forsook the Lord. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks in our minds. Sometimes we think, well, why'd so-and-so get out? Why is so-and-so not coming to church anymore? And I want you to know, I think of it all the time. I think, well, why is so-and-so? And by the way, we always try to find out. If someone just quits showing up, I want you to know, I don't really talk about this much, but I want you to know, more than likely, I reach out to them. We try to find out. We really do. There's been times it's been our fault. We've tried to tell them we're sorry, and all we can do is make those wrongs, what they feel are wrongs, right. If we have done something wrong, we need to make it right. But here in this situation, this is God's Word. Paul or no one else did anything wrong. Demas forsook him and the Lord because of the love of the world. Listen to me. The world's pull is so strong. But we think about these last thoughts. He was thinking about the ones which forsaking. Demas came to mind. And so as I'm sitting here thinking tonight, if that was on his mind and he knew his last days, these were his last hours, his last words, and he was impressed and actually by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God penned these words that he was thinking of Demas, we ought to also be thinking of those ones that we say have forsaken the Lord, and they need to be on our hearts tonight, and we need to be burdening over them in prayer. Then I want you to notice something else that I thought was interesting. Look at the next verse. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Here's just something else. I think he mentioned Luke because if you notice, there said, "Only Luke is with me." Do you know what I think he had on his mind? Thank God for friends. I think he was thinking of friendship here when he said, you know what, only Luke is with me. And you know, you think about that through a lifetime. Are we faithful to the Lord? If I was, I'm thinking about my life now, Brother Larry, I hope at my dying day that I will stay true to the Lord and I'll be friends of the people of God. Be faithful. You know what a friend, a true friend is? A true friend is faithful. And I think just Luke staying with the stuff, he enjoyed his friendship. He was thankful that he knew a man like Luke and said, hey, all others have forsaken me, but Luke is here. And he said, I think on his mind, his last words, he was talking about friendship, and he thanked God for the friends he had. I want y'all to think tonight. Brother Don even said it tonight as he's praying. We ought to thank God. I think every man that prayed tonight said, boy, thank God for our church. Can I just say, we ought to thank God for our friends that we have here at this church. We ought to thank God for the friendships that we have. We ought to thank God for the family members that we have through the church. And these things ought to be on our minds tonight. And we ought to be calling out our friends' name, our church members' name. They ought to be heavy on our heart that we want more for them. I was talking to someone yesterday and something took place. It wasn't bad, but it revealed something to me at the funeral. And it wasn't bad, but it was revealed to me. And when I got in the car, I told Clay, I started talking real loud. And sometimes, church, you know, I'm misunderstood. And that sounds like I'm mad. I'm really not mad. I just get passionate about the thing. I just, you know, y'all ever get so excited, you're just talking real loud. And I've had my children, Dad, calm down. I'm like, guys, I'm not mad. I'm just excited about it. But I was talking with passion. And here's all I said. I looked over at Clay and I said, Clay, I just want more for him. I just want more for them. You ever feel like that? You ever thought about your children, your grandchildren? You just burden your heart and say, well, I just want more for them. I want more for them. That's my greatest struggle in the ministry. I feel like sometimes that I want more for people than they want for themselves. But here's the amazing thing about that. That's all about self right there, because I'll tell you right now, you know what brings me back down to earth? God wants more than I could ever fathom. I'm nobody compared to what He wants for us. So He kind of helps me with that. Say, Brother Mark, you don't have to. I know you want for Him. But then He says, how do you think I feel? Think about the friendships and the faithfulness that He was thinking about. He was thinking about the faithfulness of His friends. I'm thankful. Do you know, we ought to be thankful for people that are faithful, that are friends to God and friends to us, friends to our church. And I think here, in his last days, he was thinking about forgiveness or friendship and faithfulness. I'm going to give you another one here in the same verse, verse 11. I love this too. He says, only Luke is with me. But then he mentions this other guy by the name of Mark. Now, if you go back, you realize there was something happened between Mark and Paul. We understand what happened. Mark quit. I don't know what happened. There was such a strife there, though, that there became two missionary teams, which I believe fulfilled God. They were able to reach out. But I want you to know there was something there. But here's what helps me. I couldn't imagine being on my last days and having bitterness in my heart towards somebody. Here's what I think was on his mind. Thank God for forgiveness. I'll tell you what else I think he had on his mind. Thank God for restoration. I don't know how ornery Mark was, but I thank God. God made him honorable. Whatever happened, God restored him, because the Apostle Paul said, hey, bring Mark with me. Bring Mark to me, for he is profitable to the ministry. But there was a time that Paul didn't think he was profitable. He said the division between them was so strong. Something had happened so strong that he no longer went with it. So they split. You know, you say, well, there was a church split. Well, there was a split. But I thank God that's not the last of the story. I thank God because in his last days, his last words, you know what? I think he was thinking about forgiveness. I think along with forgiveness, I think he was thinking about restoration. Aren't you thankful that forgiveness is possible? Aren't you thankful that restoration is possible? Restoring. That gives me hope. You know, nothing is so broke that it can't be fixed. If I was to tell you tonight that I can fix things, then we'd be in trouble. There are some things that are so broken. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I've been around folks here in the last couple weeks. I have seen some of the most dysfunctional families. I mean, the way they live that they think is normal is so far from normal. And I walk away from there, and all I can do is say, dear God, that is not so broke that you can't fix it. Right? You know, I don't know how strong this division was, but it was, there was hurt feelings here. There was probably harsh words here. But based on his last words and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, hey, go get Mark. Oh, I know, y'all might think that he's unprofitable. You might think he messed up so bad that he can't be used. But he said, I want you to know, you need to go get him, because whatever that has taken place, there's been forgiveness and there's been restoration. I'm glad that was on his mind in his last days. Could you imagine if he was bitter? Can I say, I would, Brother Don, it would be a fearful thing for a Christian to lay on a deathbed, getting ready to know they die, and they're still holding bitterness in their heart towards somebody. I'm going to be honest with you. Mr. Tony Rogers that just passed, I went over there the night before he died. And I was standing there talking to the family. And he was sick. He was a sick man. I watched him. They went in there and kind of woke him up laying on the bed. He was so in much pain. His body, he was just skin and bones. The cancer had taken so much of his body. But I can still see the grimace on his face. Just for him to move his leg, you could tell it was just sheer pain. I walked out of the room and I went in there and I was talking to his dear wife. We were just talking and she said, well, you know, Brother Mark, she said, you know what he told us yesterday? I said, what did he say? He said, well, he come in. He said, you know, family, he said, I love y'all. He said, I just don't think y'all understand how much pain I'm in. He said, I just don't think y'all understand how bad I am. He said, I don't think you understand how much I'm hurting. But he looked up at them and he said, but I'll tell you what, he said, I'll fight on for y'all. He said, I don't think y'all understand how much of pain I'm in. And I went in and I took them in the living room and I looked at all of them and I said, I want y'all to know something. I said, I think y'all need to let him know that everything's going to be okay. Because that man is sick. And I said, I don't think y'all want him fighting for y'all, because I think y'all need to release him and tell him that everything's going to be okay. Do you know they started doing that? He passed the next day. You know what I think he wanted to hear? Everything was okay. You know, my grandpa, I'll never forget this. I've thought about it many, many, many times. My grandpa Brandon, he was never really a dad to my father. He was never there. And I thought about on his bed there. We didn't know it was his deathbed, Brother Larry. I should have known. His eyes were set, but for some reason we missed it that night. He was laying there on that bed. And I'll never forget, he wanted his boys around him. Only two of them was there, my dad and my Uncle Mike. The other two lived out of state. And I'll never forget what Grandpa did. He started to talk, and he was like, Mark, he said, is my boys here? I said, well, I said, Dad's here. I said, Patrick's here. I said, Mike's here. And they knelt down over the bed, and Grandpa was looking down. I'll never forget it, because he had done some things in life that had hurt him. My grandpa was kind of he was hard to talk to be quite honest with you. But on his deathbed, we didn't know it, should have known it, but he looked up, and he looked at my dad, and he looked at my other uncle, and he said, boys, I just want y'all to know, if I've ever done anything to hurt you, he said, I want you to forgive me for it. And Dad just kind of stood there, and I'm like, he's like, Dad, it's all right, everything's fine, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing here that needs to be forgiven. Me and then Mike starts saying, oh, Dad, we love you. Everything's fine. There's nobody hurt. There's nothing you need to be forgiven for. And you know, within 3 hours, he was gone. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the Apostle Paul, he had forgiveness on his heart. He realized forgiveness was a must. And I just say this out of a warning. None of us as Christians should be harboring unforgiveness in our heart. None of us. It's a taskmaster. We ought to be able to realize, just like the Apostle Paul, thank God for forgiveness, Brother Don. Thank God for restoration. Let me just say this, too, as we just move on here to a couple other things. Really, just another one. We ought to thank the Lord that no matter how bad we think people are, God can always restore them. I want you to notice quickly, we find that he asked for his cloak. He had his cloak on his mind. And you know what this kind of represents? He said, look, bring me my cloak. No doubt he was in a cold, damp, wet place. He was thinking of his physical needs. He said, it would be helpful if you could bring me a coat. So he was thinking of physical needs. It was cold. It was damp. But I thank God somebody was willing to think of his physical needs. So the application there is, listen, if the Apostle Paul wanted a coat, we as church members and family members and friends, we ought to be thoughtful of other people's physical needs. But then I want to just close with this. I love what he says here. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, but when thou comest, bring with thee and the books. But I love this last part, but especially the parchment. Y'all know what that is, don't you? He wanted his copy of the Old Testament. Y'all know what that is, though. He wanted the Word of God. Even though he was sitting there in a jail cell knowing he was getting ready to die, he still wanted to study the Word of God. He still wanted to read the precious words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. He said, boy, I want them wonderful words of life. He wanted to study. He wanted to read. And you know what? We have them. Especially the parchments. You know what was on his mind before he's getting ready to go? The Word of God. I thank God for that. I thank God, Brother Don mentioned it tonight. Boy, I praise the Lord. Y'all know right now, there is a man downstairs opening the Word of God and teaching over 100 children the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? We just take that for granted. These young men, these three young men going on this mission trip next week, they're going to be preaching to young people. It's called a Hope Conference, and so these are young adults. I think of that. Clay and Mike and Nate are going to get to go over across the ocean to the Caribbean, go down to another country and preach the same gospel and teach the same gospel and give the Word of God out in another country, and people will be affected by it there. I think a little bit later here in July, we've got 10 folks from our church. There's about 16 other folks going from another church in Georgia, and then some folks from Help Ministries are going. We're going to go help our missionary, Gerald John, in Guyana. We're going to be preaching and teaching in the capital city of Guyana, Georgetown. In the mornings, we're going to be doing VBSs. We'll be doing two or three vacation Bible schools from three different areas on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday through Friday night, we'll be having tent meetings where two preachers will be preaching. And then there's going to be a children's service going on at the same time. So some of our men, Brother Jim, Brother Clay, and maybe me and some other preachers will be preaching in the main service. And then we'll all be preaching over the children's service as well. And just think, we're not going to be going there, Brother Larry, with our opinions. We're not going to be there with the Reader's Digest. We're not taking the Washington Post. Listen to me, we are taking the parchments. I want you to know something. If it was on the Apostle Paul's last words and his last thoughts, pretty important. If somebody told me I'm going to die tonight, I thought about it a lot. What would we do? What would we do? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not think I would waste one word. I don't think I would waste one thought if I knew I only had a few left. So whether we know we only have a few left or not, we ought not waste one thought, one word, one action. And the very things that he brought up in this passage that were needful for him are needful for us. So let's think about these little thoughts tonight. Amen. Just a simple little thought here that I hope will be helpful. I want to encourage you as well tonight, church. You don't have to. I know some of you want to get home. But if you want to be encouraged, if you want to slip over there in the gym tonight, about 8:15, 8:20, all the children will be coming in. We'll be having our last rally. We do a little skit. Most of you have seen it before. But if you want to be encouraged, you go over and see all those young people. I think it would encourage your heart tonight. And so again, I want to invite you over if you want to see the closing exercises over there and all the parents to come in and get the children. And so thank God for the Word of God. Let's hold it dear. Let's make sure it's needful in our lives. He said, look, bring me my cloak. I've been thinking about Mark. I've been thinking about forgiveness. I've been thinking about restoration. He said, I've been thinking about people that have separated from God and has been taken by the world. But he said, boy, I'll tell you what I really need. He said, I want you to bring the Word of God to me. Amen. And so let that be precious to us tonight. Let's stand to our feet as we close.